Good morning. Good morning to all of you, and happy 4th of July to you. Do you like our new spaceship we're building here? Yeah, it's a one-man craft for our drummer. Hopefully it'll be up and flying next week, next Sunday. Hey, 245 years ago today, the founders of this country signed the Declaration of Independence. We are free. We are independent from Great Britain, the tyrannical, the oppressive government. We're free from that. Well, that was a great day, and of course, we wouldn't have the United States of America if it weren't for them signing that. And then, of course, the Revolutionary War, a bloody war. I wonder if the people that signed the Declaration of Independence realized that that war would go on for 8 years, eight bloody, very costly years. Families would be busted up because lives would be busted up. Husbands, fathers would be lost. Farms would be destroyed. Businesses would be destroyed. It would be hugely costly for that revolution. And yet, it was a very good thing. Now, today, we say, you say, you want a revolution. We say, Jesus, come and visit us. We want revival. How many want revival at Stony Creek Church? Wow, lots of hands going up here today. You know what revival is? It's a Jesus revolution. But do we realize what happens in a Jesus revolution? You say, well, lots of great things happen. People come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. Lives are transformed. Bodies are healed. Marriages are restored. Families are restored. Whole communities are transformed. It's a wonderful thing. And we look back in history at revivals in the past. There was the first Great Awakening in the 1700s, and then in the early 1800s was the second Great Awakening, and there have been many awakenings in this country and all over the world. Great revivals that transformed and are still affecting our society today because Jesus visited. There was a Jesus revolution. One of the most recent ones was the Jesus movement. At the end of the 1960s and early 1970s, that transformed the church. It transformed our country. Millions of people were affected positively all over the world. You know, the music that we sing today, contemporary style music that we use today in church, that all was rooted in the Jesus movement and many, many other things. Thousands of new churches were started. Millions of people were transformed. You're looking at one of them right here. During the Jesus movement, my life was transformed. But I'm also here to tell you that when there's a Jesus revolution, Jesus will mess with you. He will. He disrupts things. He has this habit of doing it. Whenever Jesus comes into town, there's a disruption, and it gets messy. You say, how so? Well, that's what I want to talk about today. Are we really ready? We say we want a revolution. In fact, that's the name of my message today. You say you want a revolution. They had to make a song by that name, you know? But do we really? Are we ready for Jesus to mess with us? We're going to look at three visits that Jesus made that caused revolution, and it also messed with people. I invite you to open up your Bible to Luke, the Gospel of Luke. Every one of these visits is in Luke's Gospel, and we don't have it up on the screen, so you're going to have to look at it in your Bible, your Bible for all of all things, or yes, you can use your phone if you want. Luke, we're starting in chapter 4, and we're going to see three visits in which Jesus brings about revolution, but he also messes with people. And in the first visit, Jesus messes with people by bringing different people amongst his compatriots. Jesus will bring people different from us. He'll bring people different. And that can make us feel uncomfortable. In this first visit, Jesus comes to his hometown of Nazareth. He hadn't been there in a while. He had been out ministering. This was toward the beginning of his ministry, and word had gotten back to his hometown that Jesus was doing a lot of strange things, exciting things. He was teaching about the coming of the kingdom of God. He was saying, it's near, it's upon you. He was also healing people from terrible diseases. He was casting out demons. And rumors started to go around, could this actually be the Messiah? Well, when Jesus came to his hometown of Nazareth, they were all excited to see him because they thought, could it be from our own town would come the Messiah? And he came to speak. When he came to the synagogue on the Sabbath, they invited him to give the message that day. He stood up to read from the scroll of Isaiah. They handed it to him, and he unrolled the scroll to Isaiah chapter 61, and he begins reading it, and that is found in Luke chapter 4, beginning at verse 18. He found the place where it is written, verse 18, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me." In Hebrew, that's meshach. That's the verb from which they get the noun Mashiach, which means Messiah, anointed one. "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Wow, that is a Jesus revolution right there. Then he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. They're excited. Wow, that scripture from Isaiah, why, that's talking about the messianic age, the coming of the Messiah. And what is Jesus saying? It's fulfilled. It's happening. It's happening now. And they're all excited to hear this. But then Jesus says, well, before you sign on, let me tell you what this age, this revolution is going to look like. He says, I'm going to be bringing in some different people, people different from us. This revolution is not just going to be for us Jewish people. It's going to include the pagans up there in Phoenicia. It's going to include the pagans over in Syria. And all of a sudden, the excitement, the enthusiasm of the people began to wilt right then and there. The people said, now wait a minute, wait a minute. We don't like those people. They're different from us. They don't follow the law like we do. And they got very angry very quickly. So angry that they took Jesus, get this, I was so surprised when I first heard about this, when I was first reading the Bible. They took Jesus, and at, like a lynch mob, they took him out to the edge of the city where there's a hill, a great big hill, that drops off as a cliff. And they were going to throw him off the cliff. Can you believe that? They go from this excitement, how angry they must have been. They're going to throw Jesus off a cliff. They're going to kill him. This is a lynch mob. And somehow, Jesus just turned around and walked right through the midst of them and diffused the situation. They didn't like the Jesus revolution that he was talking about there, because Jesus would bring people different. Are we ready for people different from us? People that dress differently, people that look different, people that maybe don't dress with as much clothes as we dress with, people that smell differently. They're not better than us. They're not worse than us. They're just different from us. You see, you may be addicted to pornography. You may be addicted to Netflix. You may be addicted to too much food. You're eating too much. They may be addicted to alcohol or drugs or some other such thing. You see, we all have problems. We're all sinners. We all need Jesus. We all need that freedom that he came to bring. But we have different kinds of problems, don't we? Because we're all different, right? Are we ready for that? If they come in and sit next to us and they don't talk like us, are you going to want your kids exposed to somebody who's using off-color language? The other day, or some time ago, just when the restrictions were being lifted, I was on a prayer walk in this area. Not far from here is a restaurant. And I knew it hadn't been open in some time, but I looked up and there was the sign, and it was all lit up, big, beautiful sign, and it was announcing the specials that it had. It was announcing when happy hour is. And it said, open. Open, open. I thought, oh great, this place is now open. So I walked over, and guess what? I found out it's closed. Yeah, when I got up, yeah, right on the door, it's obvious that it was closed. And I sensed the Lord saying, this is a warning. This is a warning to you, to your church, to my church at Stony Creek Church. Are you telling people we're open? You got a welcome on the front door. We got Facebook and YouTube and invitations to the church that we hand out to people. So The sign says open. But when people come closer, do they find that we're closed? Oh, God forbid. I'm excited about a Jesus revolution, about revival. But there's a part of me that's afraid that I might be closed. I don't want that to happen. God forbid that that happen. See, Jesus is going to mess with me. He's going to mess with you too. He's going to bring people that are different from us. Let's look at another visit. This one is in Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. Just flip over a few pages. And this one, we see the heat gets turned up a little bit. Find that when Jesus visits, he stirs up the demons among us. In this story, Jesus is crossing the Sea of Galilee to visit a man who's been tormented. Not just a man, but a whole community that's been tormented by demons. And this is a very real thing, folks. You might say, well, I thought that was just a bunch of hokey stuff. Nobody seriously really believes in that anymore. You talk about this with sociologists and anthropologists and even some psychologists who have studied this phenomenon worldwide. Do you know that in every culture, virtually every culture on earth, on the planet, this phenomenon is known? In many cases, it's very, very, very rare, but it is known. An entity comes in. Depends on your worldview, what you call that entity, but nothing natural can help it. A person gets supernatural strength. The person can speak in languages that they've never learned or studied, spewing foul things out of control. And among sociologists, if you deny this, it's like, you know, you're a flat earther. Really? I mean, this is a very well-known, very well, highly studied subject. Well, there was a man that Jesus crossed the Sea of Galilee to visit. Because you see, when Jesus' presence is here, the demonic forces were stirred up. And this man had become possessed with demons. A whole legion of demons. And he began to act out. To act really, really strange, supernatural strength. And he began hurting people and hurting himself so much that they tried to restrain him. And they couldn't restrain him. They even put chains around him. But he broke the chains. Supernatural strength. And then he tore his clothes off. And that really scandalized everybody. They did not want this guy around. Well, thankfully, he made his way out to a cemetery on the edge of town, and that's where he was living. And the people thought, well, that's good. He's kind of contained over there. He's out of our hair. He's not trouble to us now. But when he walked by that way, you could hear him. A tormented man screeching and crying and in the cemetery without any clothes on, cutting himself. And Jesus had a mission. He crossed the Sea of Galilee to visit that man, to bring his revolution to that man and to that town, that terrorized town. And so when Jesus came ashore, as soon as this demon-possessed man saw him, the cemetery was near to the Sea of Galilee, he began to shriek and cry out at the top of his lungs, I know who you are! I know who you are! You're the Son of God, the Holy One from God. And then he came and he ran and he fell at Jesus' feet. And he said, please don't send me into hell. Don't send me. Send us. Us demons. And the leader of the demons said, don't send me into hell. As Jesus has the authority to do this. You know that this problem is well known of demon possession, but only can it be solved by Jesus Christ. The demons, no matter where they are, who they are, what religion background the person has, they respond to the name of Jesus. And out they go. It's an amazing thing. Well, these demons were terrified in his presence because they knew, they recognized this is the Lord. This is the Lord of all creation. And so they begged him, don't, please send us into hell. Don't send us into the abyss. They said, instead, send us into that herd of pigs over there on the side of the hill. And Jesus looked over, and sure enough, big herd of pigs, 2,000 of them. That was the economy for that town over there. And they're grazing on the side of the hill. And Jesus says, okay, out! Go! And out those demons went, and they came into those pigs, and those pigs, of course, became very agitated. You see, no animal likes to be possessed. No, it's just, it's not a good experience, you know. And so they rushed off the side of that cliff. This is a second story with a cliff in it. You know, that cliff, just like the one in Nazareth, still there to this day. We know where this happened. They rushed off the cliff and they fell down into the Sea of Galilee and they drowned. 2,000 pigs. That's a lot of ham sandwiches. It's a lot of pork ribs. It's a lot of bacon. See, these folks were not Jewish on this side of the Sea of Galilee. And so they were raising pigs. Well, the people that were raising those pigs, they became very, very surprised and agitated, and so they ran into town, and they reported what had happened to the townspeople, and the townspeople, they came out to see this. What is this? What could have actually helped this man? And there he was, not acting out and going crazy and ripping things apart or cutting himself. No, he is seated. He's even got clothes on. And he's in his right mind, and they hadn't seen him like that in the longest time. And then they saw the pigs floating over there. And they said, oh my goodness, this man is messing with us. I don't know if we like this. And they became afraid. And guess what? It says that those who had seen it, I'm looking at verse 36, those who had seen it told the people how the demon-possessed man had been cured. Then all the people of the region of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them because they were overcome with fear, so he got into the boat and left. It's one of the saddest verses in the New Testament. They asked Jesus to leave. You know why? He messed with them. He hurt their economy. You know, when Jesus comes among us, he messes with us. It can get kind of crazy. You know, if Jesus visits us in revival, some of us who have been tormented by demons and we didn't know it, we called it something else, we're going to start seeing it. We may even see somebody who's fully possessed. I don't know, but we might. You imagine you invited your neighbor to church, been working on this person for a long time, and all of a sudden after the service, we got our prayer team down here, somebody starts shrieking and crying out and falling down on the ground. I mean, for crying out loud, literally, for crying out loud. You're going to say, what's going on here? I don't know if I like this. This is weird. Or it could cost you. You know, Jesus starts messing with you, and all of a sudden, you know, that big home theater you wanted to install in your house, you start saying, well, I really wonder if I need this. Maybe I should take this money and go on a mission trip instead. Maybe there's somebody down the road who needs that money to buy a car or to save themselves some financial ruin. And it starts costing. It starts costing us as Jesus messes with us, you see. Do we care more about people than pigs? Do we? Jesus is going to stir up the demons among us when he visits us. Let's look at the third and final one. It's in Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. And in this one, we find that Jesus could make it loud in church. Uh-oh. Could make it loud in church. In Luke chapter 19, Jesus comes on a donkey into Jerusalem. And a huge crowd is attracted to him. They had seen the miracles. They had heard the stories. They had, in some cases, had heard him speak. He had just raised a man from the dead who had been buried for 4 days. They heard these things. And they were excited because of the Jesus revolution. And it says that as he came near the city, I'm looking at verse 37, Luke 19, they came near the place where the road goes down to the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Now, when you heard me raise my voice like that, did any of you feel a little uncomfortable? Yeah, I see some honest people are nodding their heads. You know, come on, Randy. We can all hear you. You got a microphone. Don't need to overdo things, you know. People over across the street at Wendy's don't need to hear you. You're being recorded. In case somebody misses it, they can just rewind. Well, that was sort of the reaction of the Pharisees. Look at down at verse 39. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." You just can't refrain. "If they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." You know, when I was a lot younger, I used to like things really loud. I used to like my music. I know it's hard to believe, but I used to like my music turned up real loud. I used to play the drums real loud. I used to have a gigantic stereo system, and I'd play it real loud. Now I don't play music real loud like that anymore. And my kids, when they were home and used to play it real loud, I'd be, you know, "Can you tone that down a little bit?" Well, Jesus, when people get a hold, when Jesus gets a hold of you, you know, the shyest among us, the people that are the quietest, they, even they, You think I'm not going to become demonstrative. I'm not going to shout or anything. Oh, you wait. You wait till the Holy Spirit gets a hold of you. We might hear you shout yet. Shout for joy. You say, well, why do we need so much noise? Well, let me ask you. Where is it quieter? A nursery or a cemetery? Cemetery's nice and quiet. You got a bunch of dead people. A lot of churches are quiet. Might even call them dead. Now, this is not to say there aren't times for quiet and being somber and for the Lord to say, be still and know that I'm God. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Truly, truly. But sometimes the Lord works in such a way that, you know, just kind of messes with our comfort level. We cry out. Cemetery's quiet, nursery's loud, but it's a place of life. A place of life. When there's new life, it can get kind of chaotic. We had our little grandson over last night. He's teething. And usually he's smiling away. But last night he's a little chaotic. He's making some noise. Well, that's new life for you. Are we ready? Are we ready for this? I have to tell you, you know, I'm a little scared. I'm excited, but there's a part of me that's scared because I'm the kind of guy who likes schedules. I like things to end on time. So I get enough time to preach, right? Right? Yeah, you know it. And, you know, when it's time to lock up and people still down here praying or talking, you know, kind of a thing. Jesus can mess with me. Ah, am I ready for that? What do I do? I just have to go before him and say, Lord, mess with me. Mess with me. Stony Creek Church, are you ready for Jesus to mess with you? You say, wow, that costs a lot. Well, actually, Jesus is going to mess with you, but he's not going to ask you to pay for any of this. You know why? He already paid for it. It's all on him. It's all on the house. And that's what we're going to move into right now is celebrating that payment. Every revolution has a cost. And the Jesus revolution had a cost. Blood was spilt. The Savior's blood. He gave his life to bring about the revolution. He died for you and for you and for you and for me. He was punished in my place. And then he rose from the dead. Why? So that we could die to our sins, die to ourselves, die to our old life, and then be raised and walk in newness of life. Jesus transforms. He wants to transform you, us. You say, well, I'm already a Christian. He wants to mess with you. You ready to be messed with today? Yes, indeed.